Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning, everyone, and I want to welcome all of our listeners to Women Leading the Way Radio that's brought to you by Connected Women of Influence, our organization. I'm Michelle Burquist, your host this morning for Women Who Lead, and with me, our leading lady today is a real pleasure. I want to have an introduction for Jamie Pittman, who is not only the president of Barron Center Incorporated, but also the co-founder of Connected Women of Influence. Good morning, Jamie.
Hey, Michelle. Good to be with you.
And I know you're in lovely Atlanta, Georgia this morning, so we're actually national on TV. So
Savannah, Georgia, which is an incredibly beautiful and historic place. We just have the best time here. It's wonderful.
I love it. Well, you know, and I want to talk a little bit about Savannah because I know you're experiencing it for the first time, and I've actually never been. I'm in lovely California, which is not bad either in terms of the weather and everything. But our topic today, because as you know, March is Women's History Month, and you and I are just coming off of an inaugural event that I'm excited to dish about a little bit for our listeners. We just came off and put on the Women of Influence Awards last week, and so I'm really curious. I'm tired. I don't know about you, but what was your thought on the Women of Influence Awards? It was our first one.
It was an amazing experience. It was so polished and so professional and such an elegant setting. And congratulations to you. There were so many moving parts, and you had such a good team supporting you, and it really did look flawless from the perspective of a participant or someone who was there, you know, to enjoy lunch and support someone. But I know how much was going on behind the scenes. It was really fabulous, especially for a first time out, you know, your inaugural. That was amazing. You should be very, very proud, and I hope you have time off this week to recover, because I know it was exhausting.
You're sweet to say that, and no, not yet. But, you know, I laugh because it's like I think it's been almost, you know, 6 years that we've looked at doing this awards program. I mean, you and I talked about it initially with CWI, and, I mean, if you recall, it was like, gosh, we were just coming off of 2008, you know, post-meltdown of the economy. And then it was like, okay, would people pay to come to something like that? It took a while to research some of the other awards programs, but you know, I'm just kind of curious. It's like from your standpoint, you know, looking at some of the women that were up, I was blown away with the excitement, the energy, the enthusiasm. And yet what I always want to make sure of is that people really feel that was an awards program that recognized the achievements and the accomplishments of women in business. You know, do you feel like we kind of did that? I hope.
Yeah, there were some amazing women among the finalists. You know, I didn't have access to the whole panel of people that were nominated, although next year I would like to be part of the judging process. I mean, what an honor to do that. But the finalists who were introduced and then the actual winner of the different categories, there's no way anyone could look at it and think of it as a fluff event. Those people, those women were amazing, you know, and what they've achieved, who they've touched and influenced in their lives. It was really just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I got to speak to some of the judges who said it was quite difficult, you know, that they really had a big decision to make. And some of it was tough because of the level of qualifications that the participants had. So, again, for the first time out, wow, amazing. And it was very clever, too, to do it during Women's History Month. I know that there may be some other awards programs, but that, to me, was really the perfect timing of it. And I have a feeling that this event, with your guidance, is going to be kind of a standard wherever there's a CWI chapter going forward. So, again, congrats for that.
You. Well, no, it was definitely a team event, and I have to say what just absolutely was so difficult was knowing who because I looked at all the nominations, but I wasn't a judge. You know, I passed them on to the judges. And even when they came back, you know, and you looked at that, and you went, oh, my gosh, why, you know, why didn't this person versus why another? And just, you know, the list of accomplishments, you know, of some of these women, I had no idea. I knew a lot of them, but, you know, again, very pleased. It's, like, extremely exhausted, you know, just all the members that supported it. So, woo-hoo! Thank you to everybody
that
really supported our event for the first time. Because, yes, we are going to do Orange County and San Diego in the same month next year. We've already decided that one. So we'll do Orange County at the beginning of the month, and we're going to do San Diego at the end of the month because it does make sense to celebrate.
Right. You probably have started already, right? You got to start now to be ready for that.
Exactly. But, you know, here's like something I'm kind of curious about that I'd love to, you know, at least for the benefit of our listeners. One of the things that I saw that happened so much, you know, when we were putting out the request for nominations was so many women would say, oh, I don't go for awards, or, oh, you know, I don't want to nominate myself. And I'm just like, wow, you know, any thoughts on that where we can move the needle on that? Because that is about women leading the way in business is, you know, not that you, I don't know, I don't. I think there's just an issue on trying to apply for awards. I mean, it is disappointing when you don't win, and I think I shared that at the podium. I said, come on, you know, I know it's an honor to be nominated, but, you know, if you're nominated, you really want to win, but don't make that the reason you go or not go to awards programs. So kind of curious on your thought of why more women don't actually apply for awards. I know you haven't done a lot, and you've done a bunch of things.
No, I don't. And it's interesting. This is my opinion only, my humble opinion, and not based on any kind of data or, you know, research or anything. But I suspect one of the reasons is that for the most part, I think it'll be changing now with younger women. But I know I was raised still in the eras where most of the boomers seen and not heard. And girls are quiet and docile and get along, as opposed to boys being rambunctious and rowdy and all of that. So I think there's something in upbringing, and I think that will be changing as we go forward. But then the other thing from which I can speak with a lot of authority is, for me, the reason I've not done that is it's not just humility. It's something in me about, am I good enough? You know, have I done enough?
Wow.
Has anything I've done been worthwhile? I joke with Jeannie McGuire, who I've been blessed to have as a mentor for 15 years now. And Jeannie and I talk about the voices in our heads, you know, the not useful voices who say things like, oh, you really messed that up, or, you know, that wasn't good enough, or, boy, they're judging you. And I don't know where that comes from. You know, I don't know what it was in my childhood or my upbringing. I'm sure that baggage comes from somewhere. But so for me, one of the journeys of life and one of the journeys of growing has been to look at those voices in my head and say, you know what, not useful. Figure out how to put it in a box and set it aside, and how to control that in my own mind. And that is one of the things that's a continual life journey for me, is just not feeling, I've also never been a really competitive spirit. You know, I suspect that you have always been a competitive spirit. It's a difference in our styles. So the competition and the putting my name out there and, you know, the fingers crossed, I hope I win, not part of my nature. So I think if I was ever nominated by someone in my world for something, I would be shocked and awed, flattered, and then a nervous wreck. But for me to take the step forward and have myself nominated or put my name forward, it doesn't happen. And I'm sure there are a lot of other women like me.
I love how you're being real. I mean, you know, I call it head trash as opposed to the voices in our head. But head trash, you know, you're not worthy, you're not this. And I am competitive, and thanks for bringing that up. But from the standpoint of me, I always felt like Susan Lucci. It's like, I mean, I would go for awards in the past, and, you know, then you get to a point where you're like, you're up, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what a game. And yet at the same time, you know, I feel it does kind of lend a sense of credibility boost, you know, to your list of accomplishments. And I do see that more men maybe go for awards than women do, and yet it I mean, for lack of a better phrase, I don't want to say it's a game, because I do know that we had some just incredible women doing incredible things that I saw, but yet there were quite a few women I know that have, you know, lots of credentials, lots of accomplishments, and there was no nomination from them. And so, I don't know. I just like the conversation to be, I think more women should showcase their accomplishments and achievements, and maybe as a footprint, you know, so many of us, yes, you're right, we grew up and it was like, be humble, don't speak first. Those are pretty much all the standards that I look to change if I have my way for women in business, because I think we should speak first, you know, all of that. So I think there's many ways we can be a little more braggadocious without feeling maybe uncomfortable about it. I don't know.
Anyway. You know, and the CWI Awards, there's no doubt, they weren't fluff. Those people were incredibly, those people, not just those women, those people were amazingly qualified and credentialed, and everyone that they read the bio, I went, wow, that's awesome, you know. And as far as it being important credibility for your organization, I think about, you know, my organization and exactly that. I don't have awards to put forward, and I'm not a practitioner in the field that my team is. So it's something that is a constant battle for me. How do I distinguish the organization? How do I make sure that I'm able to be out front and leading the organization, being a more humble type of leader? You know, it is a challenge, realistically. And I don't quite have the answer yet, but if I figure it out, I'll let you know and we'll do another show.
I have one suggestion. I mean, the thing that's amazing to me, and I have to give credit to a past friend, and or still a friend, but a past colleague of mine, who shared with me and almost made it that it was kind of a strategy that she would say, hey, can I nominate you for an award? And so in lieu of having, let's say, a marketing or a PR department, she goes, I want to nominate you, which felt great. She goes, but you do the write-up. And so to me, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a whole different animal, because I'm like you. When you put the awards together and you're thinking, I'm all that, and am I wonderful and am I great, you kind of feel like you go to that braggadocious lane. And yet when someone else says they want to nominate you and they're like, but you do the write-up, you have a different focus. So you're not as focused. You've been asked to do it. So it's more of like a task and a deadline as opposed to thinking you need to put yourself out there. And you really can list your accomplishments. So I almost think one of the things to all of our listeners, you know, if you've ever thought about going for an award, look at getting somebody to nominate you, but you still do the write-up, because I think that's where women can support each other professionally a little differently. And then it's not about, oh my gosh, I'm putting in my own nomination. Oh my gosh, I'm telling people how great I am. It's like, oh, someone wants to nominate me, and now I have to share why I might be credentialed under this category for a nomination. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, it was a different mindset. And when somebody showed that to me a few years ago, I just went, oh, my gosh, this is a whole other way to look at this, and felt good and finally got an award, because I always put myself out there as Susan Lucci and said I'm never going to be able to win one. And now I got one, baby, so I'm going to use it. But
yeah,
to all of our nominees and our finalists, and especially our winners, it's like we want to say congratulations. And we're going to be interviewing them on the radio show coming up. So we're going to have a lot of good conversations with good women. But, you know, and here's another question, because I feel so many women, even once you get an award, it's not getting the award, in my mind, that's really the best value and the bang for your buck. It's like, how do you leverage the fact you have an award? So here's a question for you. Like, Jamie, you and your team do a lot of speaking. Do you feel that when you hear someone introduce and you hear the list of awards that they might have, do you feel that awards boost a professional credibility? Kind of curious. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think it depends on what kind of award and what the reputation of the award show is. You know, there are some awards, as you and I have discussed, where I think, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has been a nominee and a finalist. I really think it depends on the type of award, right? I think leading an organization, like being a volunteer and serving on a board and having that kind of a history, I think there's a lot of credibility with that as well. So I don't think it's just blanket, you know, getting your name out there. It depends on the organization, what kinds of categories there are, and then what's the other stuff that you're supporting it with? You know, where are the places that you give back? Where are the places that you've been able to share your influence positively? And you have to have a well-rounded bio to really, you know, maximize your credibility in the, not just in the workplace, but on whatever stage it is your work takes you.
Agree. And it's like, I do think that, you know, so many people get focused on the award itself, And then, you know, I've seen people who have, you know, utilized the fact that they were a finalist, you know, and said finalist for, you know, and again, you can't use it forever. I mean, when you've got something on your list and on your signature line on your email that says from 1997, yeah, we need to update that a little bit, you know, because it's only as good as maybe the past. I'm so sorry. I thought I wasn't going to make you laugh today because you're
No coughing. I'm good.
I love it.
I love it. Well, at any rate, good show. I loved it.
No,
and
I have one other point I want to make. You can be an Academy Award nominee forever, right?
Yeah.
Academy Award nominee. They use it forever with no date behind it. But I think you're right. I think if it's dated, then you probably ought to drop it and find something more current. I think you're right.
Well, and but this leads to another question. Do you feel from award shows where people say, I was a finalist for, do you like, oh, didn't quite get there as an award winner? Because, I mean, you're right. With the Academy Awards, you use it as a nominee. And, you know, for us, one of the things that I was really shocked about for our nominations was how many men nominated women for awards category.
Yeah,
that blew my mind.
I was hoping you'd bring that up. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, very much. With the format that we had of the three top finalists were asked to stand up and were introduced, I thought that was impressive because it showed, you know, the finalist that I knew, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, wow, she didn't win. Should we do the winner must have something really outstanding and stellar to talk about. So I loved that format of the Women of Influence Awards where the three finalists stood up and then the winner was announced. So I think being a finalist is something that when there's a format that there are a numbered number of finalists rather than all 1,500 that applied are considered finalists and there's one winner, there's less credibility to that. And there have been programs like that that I'm aware of. You know, anybody who applied is considered a finalist, but then there's the one winner or whatever. So, again, I think it depends on what the organization is. But that thing about men nominating women that they knew or worked with, that was awesome because, you know, although CWI is intended to be an opportunity for executive women, it's not as though we're totally excluding men or saying there's no place or no value there. So that was wonderful. And to see the men in the room at the event, Silvergate Bank had a table and there was, you know, a male. Awesome to do that. And how wonderfully inclusive and supportive was that. So I was really tickled by that happening at the awards program.
Woohoo! Well, you know, and I had a chance to talk to the judges a little bit, and this is, you know, again, thinking of our listeners in mind, because I know we want to dish on our awards program, but, you know, if any of you are thinking to go after awards, I mean, one of the things that I guess I experienced this time that I never, ever saw before, and that was on the other side of being part of organizing and managing an awards program, was when I reviewed the nominations, it was amazing to me how many women that had incredible backgrounds, you know, list a mile long of accomplishments, and it really does come down to, it's like your nomination. I mean, you might be the most, you might be Arianna Huffington or Hillary Clinton or, you know, Carly Fiorino and any of that, and you have great accomplishments, but if your nomination package does not have your credentials and your accomplishments and maybe testimonials, those women didn't get picked. And that's, you know, I think was something that we might want to look at educating for the future. If to any of you as listeners that are thinking you want to go for a nomination, I believe in talking to our judges and hearing what they said, is it really does make a difference to have testimonial letters about your accomplishments, you know, people that kind of sing your praises via, you know, some sort of accommodation, a recommendation letter of some sort, and then statistics. I mean, it's not enough to say you've built an amazing kingdom as a business. You need to say we went from, you know, 100,000 in 2000 whatever to, you know, over, you know, 5.3 million 5 years later. I mean, those really clear specifics, I think, are what put the great women to super great. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that one? Because I just feel like some people didn't put those statistics in their nomination packages, and they were fabulous women, and I know they have great credentials and accomplishments.
Well, I think you're right. It all has to be in the packaging or presentation, as with any kind of a proposal, right? The more appropriate data and references you can put in there, the better. I didn't realize that that wasn't part of the explanation or the instructions. So I think you're right. We should do that going forward to encourage people to provide more detail and more data. And, you know, it's supporting documentation. You know, it's the same idea as so much of other things we do in business. It's a great, great concept.
It's a tough balance because I've seen some awards programs. I mean, you really do need to follow, for any of you thinking of going after an award nomination, you know, most people kind of have their criteria. They're saying, you know, keep it to 2 pages. You better keep it to 2 pages. You know, if they letters of testimonial, you can do that. Some places are, you know, they say keep it to 1 page as far as your list of, you know, why, you know, you feel you're deserving of this award, that kind of thing. So it's a tough one because you really got to read it. It's almost like putting in a government proposal. You better read it specifically because you can be thrown out if you don't.
Right.
Yep. Well, here, I want to give you a chance to kind of talk about you. So what are you doing in Savannah? Because I know as a president of Barron Center, you guys are at an association. And do you mind sharing kind of like what you're doing and where you're at?
No, I'd be thrilled to. And first, I want to say, if you haven't been to Savannah, if you have any interest in this nation's history, you have to come here. It's an incredible city. There's a 2.5 square mile historic district with 16 squares, which they considered as they were planning the city, outside living rooms. And every square is significantly different, and they're lovely. And we saw monuments to people that fought in the Revolutionary War. We saw a monument about people who were on both sides of the Civil War. There is the home where the founder of the Girl Scouts, Juliet, I forget her middle name, Low, L-O-W, the home she was raised in, as well as the home where she married her husband and settled here in Savannah. So that's interesting. I mean, it's just an amazing place to be, and quaint and small. And the only complaint I have is there's only one Starbucks in the Savannah Historic District. And who knew I'd be going through Starbucks withdrawal, but I am. But it's lovely. And the association that we're here with is a nationwide group, and their specialty is employee and labor relations in the public sector. So our city, county, state, municipality, school districts, water districts, it's the folks within those entities who manage employee and labor relations. And, of course, that's a niche area for Barron Center with our, you know, our core competency being workplace violence prevention, but the workplace behavior things that we specialize in to help make good performers better or intervene with a leader who may be technically competent but have crummy people skills. You know, we really work on helping people align performance and behaviors with the business goals. So this is a great group for us. We have a lot of long-term public sector clients. And we had done a program for this group based out of Southern California at the Queen Mary. And the guy who runs the association nationally approached us and said, we'd like you to do a presentation Savannah at the end of March. And then we decided to sponsor. So we have an exhibitors display. And then one of our team is flying in tomorrow night to do a program on Wednesday. So it's wonderful. Of course, we took a couple of days off to come early to play and enjoy it. And I have become a fan of fried green tomatoes. I mean, who knew?
You said that. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you were talking about this event a year ago, and I cracked up because we couldn't choose the awards program, which would have been tomorrow for the 31st, because you were doing your traveling thing. Very cool.
Well,
and I know you're going to be on the show talking about Barron Center in a couple of weeks, I do believe, with Cecile Baril. So she'll be unpacking a lot about Barron Center.
Yeah. I'm hopeful.
Well, I love it. And if anybody needs to contact you, because I know we're going to be back again for the Women of Influence Awards next year. It'll be in March, but we're going to do a twofer. We're actually going to do San Diego at the end of March, and we'll be doing the first Orange County one at the beginning of March. So stay tuned for that to all of our listeners. We actually had people travel from out of state that were at our awards luncheon last week. So
that's
pretty pleased about that. Yeah, we had Arizona and Nevada that were represented. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, and I'll be able to participate in both because this event will be in April next year. So we'll make sure to save the month of March as CWI in California. Absolutely.
Well, I hope the message to all of our listeners is get your little brag on, ladies, and make sure you are submitting nominations. It's like, you know, if you don't feel like you want to put one in, get someone to nominate you. You do the write-up. You know, it's not about being humble. It's not about thinking that, oh, you're not all that. You are all that. So from that standpoint, I hope our message today was if you have ever thought about going after an awards program specific, you know, really think about results in terms of statistics and facts, not, you know, vague and general type accomplishments. And it, to me, I just think so many women go, you know, they go underserved on that front because there's some incredible women doing amazing things that don't get the credit. So I'm hoping we're changing the needle, right, Jamie?
Absolutely. And don't forget to ask one of your CWI sisters to represent your nomination if you're not comfortable doing it yourself. You know, that's what this group is all about, is supporting one another in our business efforts, and nominations for awards programs certainly count that way.
That sounds good. All right. Well, I want to say thank you to you for being our leading lady today. And I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners as we are here every Monday morning for Women Leading the Way Radio. We will be back next Monday at 9 a.m. And our leading lady next week, we're going to turn things upside down. Our leading lady next week will be Cecile Burriel from RMAHR. Cecile was one of our finalists for the Women of Influence Awards. And Cecile was a finalist for the Women Breaking Barriers Award. So I will get the chance to interview her, even though it's her radio show on Serving Up Diversity. So, again, I just want to thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you'll listen in to us next week. And I want to tell everyone to have a grand, grand week. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.